Good morning. Welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday, we strive to expose the destructive and deadly myths that are often associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and with the media, as well as with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission on this program is to understand what is actually occurring behind the headlines, while predicting how these events will shape our world. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms, using evidence and reason, since His is the lone reliable and credible voice in what has become an exceedingly disingenuous and troubled world. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is toll-free, 877-300-7645. Yesterday, U.S. President Barack Obama called for calm reflection over the trial of George Zimmerman and the death of Trayvon Martin. He said Trayvon Martin's death was a tragedy for America, but that it was a nation of laws and a jury has spoken. So I ask you, what made the death of this thrice suspended? Yes, Trayvon Martin was first suspended for school for truancy, next for drug possession, and the third time for defacing school property by writing WTF, what the, you get it, on a hallway locker, while in possession of stolen property, women's rings and earrings, and using tools that the school said would typically be used in the commission of burglaries. So what made this thrice suspended angry? Yes, text messages were not admitted to trial because the judge said, well, there was certainly the possibility that someone might have confiscated Trayvon Martin's phone and pretended to be him while texting those angry messages. But they show his state of mind. He was looking for a fight. And according to the jury's verdict, Trayvon Martin picked the fight and was guilty of battery. If he had not picked the fight and was not guilty of battery, then George Zimmerman would have been guilty. So what made the death of a thrice suspended, angry boy who was also intoxicated? Yes, the toxicology reports that were not admitted in the trial showed that Trayvon Martin was imbibing more than Skittles. Originally, this information was not included in the trial, even though it's public record, because they had an expert that said that the amount of toxicity in his system might not have played a material role in his judgment or rage. Of course, that expert was overruled by many experts that said absolutely it could have and probably did impair his judgment and had an influence over what happened. But the judge had already made a foolish decision and didn't correct the record. So what made the death of this thrice suspended, angry, intoxicated, and racist boy? Yes, his comment to his friend was, I'm being followed by a creepy ass cracker. A tragedy for America. Do we have a new standard of heroes for America? That the death of this boy at his own hand is a tragedy for this country? Yes, I said at his own hand. In fact, it was said on CNN immediately after the verdict by George Zimmerman's brother. At his own hand. When the jury found George Zimmerman not guilty, even of manslaughter, what that means is that Trayvon Martin was the person most responsible for his own death because George Zimmerman shot him in self-defense. The President of the United States, obviously not understanding any of that, said we should ask ourselves if we're doing all we can to stem the tide of gun violence that claims too many lives across this country on a daily basis. As citizens, that's a job for all of us. That's the way to honor Trayvon Martin. Since George Zimmerman used his gun in self-defense, that means that Barack Obama wants Americans defenseless. I guess they're easier to rob and to control that way. And since when are thrice suspended, drug abusing, public menaces who are racist, angry, and prone to violence worthy of being honored? I'm sorry, the boy is dead. That's sad. A life squandered. I'm not an apologist for George Zimmerman. There's obviously ways that he could have handled himself and the situation better. But the moment this trial was announced, I was horrified. I studied all of the public documentation that was available, and it was immediately obvious that all of those in the African-American community that were creating this myth of this being a racial incident against an innocent young boy who was doing nothing but coming back from the store after buying some Skittles and iced tea was the stuff of myth that comprises most religions. That the African-American community was being beguiled, being deceived, being manipulated, and being set up for this very verdict. The verdict was obvious. There was no way whatsoever that with the evidence available that George Zimmerman was going to be found guilty of murder, much less even manslaughter.
Well, they didn't even want to take him to trial at first. It took him 49 days to arrest him or whatever.
Well, of course. In fact, George Zimmerman went and talked to the police openly, willingly, when he was told, you know, there's someone has a video of what happened. He said, thank God. When he said, there's witnesses that have overheard this and saw it. Thank God. You know, I'm not a advocate for George Zimmerman. I don't know the man. All I know is the facts in this case do not support a trial for murder, nor do they support evidence that there was racial intent, malice on behalf of George Zimmerman. And so the only reason this was brought to trial is because the African-American community wanted it, and the liberal left that caters to them wanted to appease them. It was a complete and foolish waste of money, and now what it has done is because they were lied to, willfully accepting the poison of this being an innocent young boy whose life was viciously snuffed out by a racist, now they're enraged. It is an extraordinarily sad situation. And now the African-American community is creating this illusion of Trayvon Martin as if he were a saint. That's going to be remembered in the annals of history as a civil rights activist. No. He's not someone that we should admire. He picked a fight and died as a result of it. Rather than doing all he could to prevail in school, he carved WTF on school lockers and hallways and was kicked out for using drugs. And rather than learning his lesson, he was intoxicated even that night. Now, Does someone who used drugs deserve to be killed? No. Does someone who defaces school property deserve to be killed? No. Does someone who says I'm in text that I'm looking for a fight deserve to be killed? No. Does someone who says racist slurs about an individual, does that individual who just happens to be racist deserve to be killed? No. But when you assault someone and batter them, and they are protecting themselves, then that's what happens. So George Zimmerman used his gun in self-defense. And so that must mean that Barack Obama wants Americans defenseless. Now, during the trial, CNN wrote, with a single phrase, Rachel Gentile, that friend of Trayvon Martin's, lit the fuse in the trial of his accused killer. For those who were listening, she inverted everything. The racist was Trayvon Martin, not George Zimmerman. The only way that George Zimmerman's 9/11 calls can be considered potentially racist would be to take them out of context, not once but twice. Something that NBC did knowingly and deliberately, and even admittedly. When they were originally published, I read them all. There were five comments as part of some 150 calls that were used out of context to smear George Zimmerman. But I read all of them. And the references to skin color were usually in response, and there were a few of them, to a question like, what color, race, is the person that you are suspicious of? And the number of times that he gave an answer that the individual was black was far less than the percentage of crimes perpetrated in that area by blacks versus whites or Hispanics. Asked what the defense, or by the defense, what Martin told his friend on the phone moments before he engaged George Zimmerman in the brawl, she testified, a creepy-ass cracker. So we're going to consider, what does creepy-ass cracker mean when we return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. You're free to call in and disagree with me if you'd like. 877-300-7645 is the toll-free number. The origin of the term cracker is a bit murky. Some sources suggest it came from overseas, and it was a term used to smear the overseers of slaves. Now, that's kind of an odd way of phrasing that, but the first inference is that the overseers who commanded the slaves were called crackers by the African Americans that they were abusing. Others say it derives from a Scottish word that means to boast. At the Center of Study of the American South at the University of North Carolina, Bill Ferris says that it emerged in the 1700s as a descriptive term for the drovers who used small whips to move their livestock through pine barrens through the Gulf of Mexico. They were basically poor people, white people, a class of people who had very little. It was used as a pejorative to describe them. Is it illegal to call someone a creepy-ass cracker? No. Does it show a racist mindset? Absolutely. The FBI, by the way, is reporting today that based upon the NAACP and others who are screaming that the U.S. government prosecute George Martin under double jeopardy for infringing on Trayvon Martin's civil rights because they claim that George Martin, not Trayvon, or George Zimmerman, not Trayvon Martin, was the racist. The FBI published their report. He said, there is absolutely no evidence that George Martin's a racist. Even the comment regarding dressed in black and wearing a hoodie, he said, is depictive of the attire of the most recent robbers in that community. He wasn't describing the boy's skin color, but instead the fact that he was dressed in black and wearing a hoodie, which was suspicious because that is what those who had committed robberies in that neighborhood had typically worn. They said there is absolutely no history whatsoever of George Zimmerman being a racist. But the myth is out there. And once myths begin, they're just like religions. It's extraordinarily difficult to convince people who are beguiled by the myth to consider evidence and reason. Trayvon Martin had the greatest hand in his own death. That's a statement of fact. The jury considered the evidence. The evidence was overwhelming. They came back and said that George Zimmerman was not guilty of second-degree murder or of manslaughter, which means that by discharging his handgun, he was defending himself. Trayvon Martin had the greatest hand in his own death. Stop making him out to be a hero. By the way, under Florida's hate crime laws, Martin's words would have been used against him had he survived the encounter, and he would have been tried for assault and battery on Zimmerman. The state handbook advises that a hate crime has occurred if, during the commission of a felony, evidence prejudiced the attacker based upon race, color, ethnicity, or ancestry. Calling someone a creepy-ass cracker would qualify. After the not guilty verdict was announced late Saturday, there were protests in cities across the United States. Now, what they should have been protesting is the lies that had been promoted by the leaders of the African-American community. That's what they should have been protesting, that we were lied to. Why did they lie to us and tell us that this was an innocent young boy and that George Zimmerman was a bloodthirsty racist who could freely kill him just because he was black? Well, they weren't protesting those who had lied to them. No, they were protesting against America. The protests occurred in San Francisco, Philadelphia, Chicago, Washington, Boston, San Diego, Los Angeles, Atlanta. And so why is it, I want to know, that the African-American community in America can't see themselves in the mirror? You know, we talked about the mirror on Friday's program relative to Muslims and how they are their own worst enemy. That they are bringing this on themselves. Trayvon Martin brought this on himself. Why is it that we have people who are unwilling to be accountable in this country? We'll return to Shattering Myths. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. I realize that we're talking about an extremely sensitive topic. It's one of those topics that most people are afraid to talk about in America because most Americans don't view the world logically. They would prefer indoctrination and platitudes and opinions over evidence and reason. The interviews that were conducted by by liberals, of liberals and African Americans following the verdict's announcement that George Zimmerman was not guilty, which means that he was, that Trayvon Martin was shot in self-defense, which means that Trayvon Martin had a hand, in fact, the most significant influence over his own demise. All of them were stunningly disingenuous. Talking about all he was armed with was a bag of Skittles, and that he was a boy just minding his own business, and that he was this innocent shot down by this awful racist man who was slurred in every possible way. It was pathetic what we've become. And so I'm here talking about this from a perspective of evidence and reason. I'm going to continue to, and I understand that most people who will be listening to this will assume that I must therefore be racist, and I'm not. You know, I was in business for a very long time. I made certain every time that I was given the opportunity to hire someone who was a nationality other than Caucasian, a race other than Caucasian, that I gave the individual of a different ethnicity the benefit of the doubt. And every business that I was ever in, everyone that I ever had the opportunity under any circumstance to say, this person is qualified and has a chance to do this job, I gave the job offer to an ethnicity other than Caucasian. If anything, I was voluntarily embracing affirmative action. And I looked at it and said, you know, there's a reason for to do this. And that is that if the individual who is of a different ethnicity overcame challenges that others may not have had to deal with, and is sitting before me looking for a job, wants to work, is articulate, presents themselves in a manner that looks like they can be trusted, that you could send them out as a representative of your company, and that they speak of their life journey in such a way that they have earned the right for this chance, every possible opportunity I have, I gave them that chance. I was very seldom disappointed, by the way. Not in my own personal life, not in my own business life, in no way have I ever been a racist. My father was a racist. It's one of the things I really disliked about him. I am not Jewish, and yet I care deeply about the plight of Jews. But yet I'm not uncomfortable telling Jews where they have themselves been their own worst enemy. I'm not African American. I happen to be Irish and Sioux Indian. I will speak about the plight that has been perpetrated against the native population of this country, because I think they were abused by Caucasian Americans. I think it's one of the great travesties of America. It is a part of my history where most of my best and most successful business deals have been with Asians. Is it because they're Asians? No. But the fact still remains, I am not racist. That's one of the reasons I feel so comfortable going into this. Matter of fact, in all of the things that I have written and said about Islam, anytime someone brings up race as germane to the issue, I'll shut them down. Religion is not about race. I never speak of Islam from a racial perspective. In fact, I always correct any article or any statement that anybody makes, trying to make it a racial discussion. It isn't. So that's perhaps the reason that I'm comfortable treading into waters that most would fear. But the reality is that Trayvon Martin was a truant from school, was kicked out of school once for truancy, once for drug possession, once for defacing school property, being in possession of stolen property. His texts on his cell phone acknowledged that he was looking for a fight. The toxicology reports showed that he was under the influence. the young lady he was talking to at the time of the incident acknowledged that he used a racial slur. The jury found that he had the greatest hand in his own death. So all of that, when you consider all of that, the evidence is that the African-American community that is protesting today, that is out screaming that it is inappropriate, that justice was not served, you're wrong. Now, I'm not sure justice was served. I am, for example, quite concerned that the prosecution, when they knew they had failed to present a case, after the defense had closed their arguments, said, you know, judge, we're not going to get the old second-degree murder charge, so let's add a new complaint right now, after the defense has closed arguments, and let's see if the jury will bite on manslaughter. I mean, how reprehensible is that? I'm just assuming that the civil rights movement has become like religion, replete with indoctrination and lies, even replete with media evangelism. We have Dee calling in from Florida, and if Scott will be kind enough to also bring Larry on, I would also love to have Larry's input as well. First, Dee, you beat Larry by 50 seconds, and floor is yours. You're gonna. Do you think I'm wrong in all of this, or do you think that this is something that needs to be said?
Oh no, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Yada. And I wanted to make a comment on, it's kind of a spiritual comment, I guess, that Trayvon Martin's father apparently is a Grandmaster Freemason in Sanford.
Oh, wow. I had not heard that. That is that is indeed troubling. I mean, well, I feel sorry for parents who have lost a child, and that is a travesty. But these parents, rather than seeking vengeance against George Zimmerman, ought to have been looking at themselves in the mirror.
I agree.
This boy was in trouble. This boy was involved in activity and had attitudes that were not conducive to him living very long. He was a train wreck in process. And while, you know, I don't want to make it sound like we parents have total influence over our children, because one of the things I learned when we had our second child is that he was so different than the first one. It was obvious that from personalities and attitudes and the like that that much of their makeup is born into them. And you know, we as parents don't. You know, you could be a wonderful parent and have a terrible result. You can be a terrible parent and have a wonderful result with the child. But nonetheless, I am strongly of the position that if there was someone to blame for this boy's death other than his own actions and attitude, it'd be his parents.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I thought of Exodus 20. Verse 5, where Yahweh elaborates about the sins of the fathers.
Yes.
That's what came to my mind when I...
Wow. Yeah, that is, boy, that is really profound. We've been talking in the second hour about the second of the three statements that Yahweh etched on the first of the two tablets, and God specifically says that the sins of the father, the corruptions of the father, and there's very few things as corrupting as Freemasonry. It is a purely satanic religion. In fact, by the time that you get to the highest level, you know who it is that you have been positioning as God. And in fact, it is through Freemasonry's moral and dogma that I actually came to understand why Satan represents himself the way he does in the Quran. And what you learn is that in Freemasonry at the highest level, that Lucifer, which is the common name, it's actually Halal bin Shakar, is the actual name of Satan, which is a title. It means the adversary in Hebrew. That he does not want to be known as the adversary. He does not want to be known as Satan. He wants to be known as God. That's why he prefers the title Lord. And there are very few doctrines that would corrupt more effectively than Freemasonry. And so that's a brilliant point, Dee. I was not aware of that, and but yet it ties in beautifully to what we're saying.
Yeah.
We also have Larry, who is stay on the line with us, Dee. Love to hear more from you. Larry, who is also a Floridian, speaking of an incident that took place in Florida. What do you think, Larry?
Well, one of the other things that strikes me as completely wild is that the Community Relations Service arm of the Department of Justice went out and spent millions of dollars on mm-hmm. protesters. I mean,
well,
this is appalling.
Well, actually,
$674,000 deploying people to Sanford, Florida, you know, in March 25th. And through 7th, and then on the 30th, they spent another $892,000.
You know, I've read those articles, and the numbers I have are that they spent a lot less than that. But nonetheless, there is absolute proof that the U.S. government spent U.S. taxpayer money aiding the protesters who were chanting racial slurs against George Zimmerman, an innocent man, while turning this case into something that it never was. We should be very concerned about that. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It is my conclusion that the leaders of the African American community knew full well that there was not a case of racism here, and that they would have done what I did, would have investigated the evidence of this particular case, and they would have concluded, as I did, as any rational person would do, as this jury did, that there is no case for murder here, and there is no case for racism here. And so when they began to promote the myth of this case, the civil rights myth of this case, and to rally and enrage their community over this jury verdict regarding George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, knowing full well that George Zimmerman would be acquitted, because that's what the evidence said. They were setting themselves up to become important, because when the African-American community becomes enraged, all of a sudden these guys that you don't hear from normally are all of a sudden in the spotlight. They're back in the limelight. They're back and they're important. They manipulated their community to their community's harm for their own personal self-aggrandizement. The protesters chanted, "What do we want? Justice." They got justice. It's what the legal system did. He was declared not guilty, not even of second-degree murder. He wasn't even guilty of manslaughter. I love the jury's response. Typically, they itemize each of the counts. This jury didn't want any part of that. They just said he's not guilty. They didn't even want to acknowledge that manslaughter had been brought into the last minute. If I was a juror, I wouldn't have tolerated it. Man, you bring us in, you tell us what the crime is that we're supposed to be evaluating this evidence. We sit here for 2 weeks evaluating evidence on second-degree murder, and then you tell us after closing arguments that the defense has rested, that, oh, by the way, there's another crime that you ought to have been considering all along?
Yada, that goes to, you know, first they tried to hide evidence. They used a hostile judge. That was hostile.
Well, she was absolutely hostile.
They paid protesters. They even had people lie on the stand, and they failed to prosecute even with all that in their hand. And you know, perhaps those that are out there wanting Zimmerman's blood, they might think about this. The same rule of law that they demand be used on Zimmerman should be used against them.
Of course.
You know,
yeah, of course.
What I say,
Barack Hussein Obama's killed almost 4,000 people, murdered them with drones. No due process. Why isn't he facing these charges? The big MediaGate scandal of America spying on Americans, turning Americans themselves into the enemy that they suspect, is a total wholesale breach of their constitutional oath. Why aren't we prosecuting them?
Well, You know, exactly. And, you know, and you're right. Those numbers were $674. I was saying 1,000. It
yes,
doesn't matter.
Right, right.
If you've spent, I don't care if you've spent $1,000.
Yeah, that's right. Your point was accurate. I knew your numbers were not, and that's why I made the point. But the fact is, we ought not have our U.S. government engaged in such things. By the way,
used to the government spending.
I know. They were being frugal here. So the chancellor, what do we want? Justice. Well, they got justice. No, they don't want justice. What they really want is their lie. When do we want it? Now. Well, they got it already. Why do you want it now if you already have it? For whom? Trayvon. Well, Trayvon brought this on himself. Yes, Sadie?
Yeah, well, it almost seems like they want to be above the law.
Of course.
It almost seems like the protesters are asking for it's almost like
a sacrifice. They're asking for a sacrifice.
Right, you're right.
And they're asking to have our right of self-defense to be repealed.
That is correct. That is correct.
This is really about,
Absolutely. That's how the President of the United States is using it. Score another one for Dee. She's right again. The banner behind them reads, "No justice, no peace." So what are they doing? Now, that happens to be assault. They are threatening no peace. Listen to this. Trayvon Martin will be forever remembered in the annals of history. This is a leader of the African American community. I think it was the head of the NAACP. But will forever remain in the annals of history as a symbol for the fight of equal justice for all. So a young boy who assaulted and battered a neighborhood watch volunteer while spouting racist slurs, while intoxicated, while suspended for school, now goes down in history as a symbol for the fight of equal justice for all? Have we lost our mind?
I haven't.